Hey folks, welcome to the No Huddle Podcast, brought to you by QBList.com, the podcast you need to win and wrap up your week. My name is Kenny Heitenhove, and I am joined by fellow QB List contributor Rich Holman. Rich, I have to ask you, what is your 101 Thanksgiving Day moment this year?
So earlier this year, not to bring everybody down, but we lost my grandmother. But towards the end, some of my favorite memories were of her just screaming at us over the stupidest things. Like, Jesus, put the buttered water with the stovetop. Like, we crack up about it now. But those are great memories when everything's going wrong and I'm just laughing at everything. It's amazing. You got any memories?
I would say this year we kept it small, so I didn't have to fight anybody for the giant turkey leg. It's mine, and nobody else could have it.
Your tiny daughter didn't try and steal it from you?
I could best her. I'm not afraid of her. I'm only kind of afraid of her. All right, let's go ahead and start the drive. First down, the news and notes that may have implications on your fantasy team. Let's go ahead and get to it. So Todd Gurley has been already declared out with a knee injury for week 12. That means Brian Hill looks to be the next man up in Atlanta in a fantastic matchup against the Las Vegas Raiders. Are you going to go ahead and start Hill against the defense that has led up the fifth most points to running backs so far this season?
So this Falcons offense has looked awful last week against the Saints, and Julio Jones didn't practice today either. Hill's looked better than Todd Gurley. He looked shiftier. He looked quicker than Gurley. When he was out in space, he was actually making some moves, and he looked good. The Raiders have been decent over the last 4 weeks against running backs, ranking 14th in fantasy points allowed to running backs. So I'm looking at Hill as like a RB2 flex play this week, and that has more to do with the Falcons' offense than Hill's abilities.
I'm right there with you on that.
Austin Eckler got on Twitch, which is a weird platform to get on, and said that he wanted to score some points for fantasy players. That's a good statement. He's currently questionable in a matchup with the Bills, who have been slightly above average matchup for running backs. Are you starting him this week?
I'm going to have to strongly consider starting him because it's Austin Eckler. I feel like this is kind of like the equivalent over at our sister site, Pitcher List, where Nick Pollock has the ILH, where you kind of have the IL hangover, where you're not really sure you want to start a pitcher coming off the IL. Although we don't have as many games in the NFL, so you don't have that luxury at times. But this is kind of how I feel with him, because the matchup, it's not like a smash. Like, you're like, yes, I have to start him. The Bills are like 13th in points allowed to running backs. So I'm a little worried to go ahead and start him because I don't know that he's 100%, and it's not guaranteed that he's going to stay 100% when he gets in the game, because he had that really serious soft tissue injury to his hamstring, and those crop up pretty quickly or pretty easily. So I'm mainly concerned because of how good Ballage has been in that offense, and I can't believe I'm saying how good Kalen Ballage has been, but he's been really good, and he's a little banged up too, so there is that. But he's had three straight fringe RB1 performances. In fact, I think 3 weeks ago, he was an RB1. So I'm a little worried about how the Chargers may try to utilize both of them. And I'm concerned that we might get into that dreaded RBBC, running back by committee, going forward.
I'm glad you brought up Ballage, the injury, because he did leave Sunday's game twice with that ankle. Once early in the game, came back, and then once towards the end of the game. But it looks like he has been practicing them on a limited basis, so we'll see what comes on Sunday.
COVID has struck multiple teams this week, and I think the biggest impact we've all been hearing about is the rescheduling of the Baltimore and Pittsburgh game. That's the second time in just as many days that they've had to reschedule it. However, kind of lost in the shuffle has been the fact that Adam Thielen is a major name that is also going to be out this week. It's in a matchup at home in which they're favored by 3.5 points against the Panthers. How do you think Thielen's absence is going to affect the other fantasy options on that Minnesota offense?
Sure. So I just think it's going to have them lean more on Dalvin Cook even harder than what they usually do. Carolina has allowed the sixth most fantasy points to opposing running backs. And if Thielen's out, it just sets up for like a 30-plus carry game for Cook. The target funnel will be just Cook and Jefferson. Irv Smith Jr. is doubtful. Not that that's like a huge mouth to feed. So maybe Kyle Rudolph becomes like one of those super sneaky, desperate tight end plays where you get like 30 yards and pray for a touchdown. That's it, though.
Yeah, I like the passing funnel. We talked about at the beginning of the year that we thought Thielen could be the wide receiver one because of that funnel. We weren't 100% sure how good Justin Jefferson was going to be. Well, he's legit. He's really, really good. So the fact that he could get some more targets because they're not going to be throwing to Thielen, I think that that makes me a little more interested. But I agree with you. I think it's going to be a Dalvin Cook game.
Second down. Let's play Guess Who? Thanksgiving Sale Edition. We'll give five clues about an undervalued player and see if we can guess who. Do you have a clue?
Can you guess who? Do you have a clue?
All right, Kenny, who's your first? Give me some clues on your first player.
All right, are you ready? Mm-hmm. You get five clues, and then you have to try to solve it. And if you think you can get it before the fifth clue, props to you. But all right, here we go. You don't win anything. This player is a running back. Clue two, he is in the AFC East. Clue three, if this really helps you, I'm going to be shocked, but he is rostered in 76% of Yahoo leagues, but only 59% of ESPN leagues. And here's clue four. He is tied for sixth with a 30.3% juke rate, which is basically evaded tackles divided by touches. So he's pretty good. He's pretty shifty at breaking tackles and missing people. And also, he is sixth in yards created per attempt. He is creating 1.73 yards per every attempt. So that is yards created without any blockers in front of him. So that kind of gives you a profile of what kind of runner he is. You getting any ideas here, Rich?
I have some ideas.
All right, some ideas. In the last four games, he only has five attempts within the 10-yard line with one touchdown. And unfortunately, he only has one attempt inside the five, which we like to call the green zone. And that is the most likely place that a running back is going to score a touchdown. Can you guess who this running back is?
So I was leaning towards Myles Gaskin at first until you went the last stuff, because that he hasn't played in a little while. I was thinking it was sneaky that it was coming back. James White, but he doesn't get the carries.
It is the same team. You're very close.
I guess it's Damian Harris then.
It's Damian Harris. Mm-hmm. It is Damian Harris. Mm-hmm. So Cam Newton has all the attempts within the 10 and the 5. He has attempted 8 rushes and scored 4 touchdowns in that same stretch. And Burkhead has attempted 3 within the 10-yard line. And now we know that Burkhead is out for the year, so I'm looking for a little bit of shiftiness within that backfield. Shifting of roles one way or the other. It is the Patriots, so you can't really guarantee that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But Harris has been hitting on a lot of his big runs. He has a breakaway rate of 6.2, which is fifth in the league. And he has 6 carries of 15 yards or more. So with Rex out, I'd really like to see his role increase. And I'm not, no, some of you are like, what, they just activated Sony Michel?
No.
I'm not worried about Sony Michel. Also, New England has the 4th best strength of schedule for running backs, according to PFF, for the rest of the season. So I think he might be a sneaky pickup for those of you, especially in ESPN leagues.
Nice. All right, you ready?
All right, I'm ready.
We're going to stay in the AFC with a running back. I don't want to give division yet, but okay, if I have to, I will.
You might have to.
This player finished as an RB1 last week. He handled 6 carries in the red zone and found the end zone once last week. There are 2 other running backs on the active roster, and they've handled a combined 9 carries this year. This player is only rostered in 22% of Yahoo leagues and is expected to be the workhorse back. Can you guess who?
All right, AFC. Carries within the, did you say within the 5-yard line?
6 carries in the red zone.
Okay, 6 carries in just the red zone. All right, and he was a RB1 last week. And he's low owned?
22%.
AFC.
This was helped because of an injury last week.
All right, now you're giving me a lot of clues. Hold on, let me think. Was it J.K. Dobbins?
Nope.
Not J.K. Dobbins. Do I get three strikes?
You can go like, let me give you the division. Okay. AFC East.
AFC East. Frank Gore.
Frank Gore.
Frank Gore.
Frank Gore. Old man Frank Gore. LaMichael P. Ryan got hurt last week. The two active running backs on their team are Josh Adams and Ty Johnson. And I, like, I mean, when Josh Adams was on the Eagles, he got a pretty decent volume of carries. He's just kind of like,
he's just a guy.
Just a guy, but he's a he's like Jordan Howard pretty much. And I mean, Frank Gore had a workload and did good. I don't know.
He's consistent. And I tell you what, when you watch Frank Gore, he still looks like he's got some explosiveness in those legs. I don't know how. I mean, he's the same age. The crazy thing is I think I'm actually older than Frank Gore, but Frank Gore seems like he's been around since I was in like seventh grade. Yep. So the other thing, Ty Johnson popped up on my opportunity report. I didn't write about him, but he popped up for running backs because he got, I think he had like five targets last week out of the backfield. So he's another guy to kind of watch for because Gore's not really doing anything out of the backfield. But Johnson, it looked like they like to work him out of the backfield and get him out in the open space. So he might be another guy to kind of keep an eye on.
I mean, you know, the Jets, they're going to trail. They face the Dolphins this week. It's not a great matchup. It's not a terrible. I mean, it's fine, but it's the Jets and they're going to have to throw the ball. Ty Johnson kind of popped last year as that like sneaky Twitter sleeper for the Lions. It just never panned out.
Right. Another quick explosive guy.
Yep.
Are you ready for your next one?
Sure.
All right, well, I've got two, and we've been a little running back heavy, and one of mine is a running back, so I'm going to switch gears here. This was going to be my last one, but I'm going to switch to this one. So this player is a wide receiver. So get that wide receiver mindset. He had an 85 percentile college dominator and a 96 percentile 40 time in speed score. That was clue two, by the way. He has a 25% target share, which is 11th at his position, and is ranked 7th at his position in air yards per target. So he's averaging 15.8 air yards for every target that he gets. Clue four is he only has 24 targets on the year, but 8 of them are 20-plus yards down the field. He has yet to have a week where he has more than a wide receiver 3, but he has only been playing since week 7, where he has a 90% snap share on his team, which is tied for 8th. He's only rostered in 7% of Yahoo and 5% of ESPN leagues. Do you know who this is?
I'm in trouble here. But I there was a player that I looked up earlier. And when we talked about doing this game, and it might be the player and Kiel Harry.
No, it is not N'Keal Harry, but you are in the correct division. You are in the correct division. So there's only one wide receiver on the Patriots, and it's not a Patriot. So I'll give you that.
I mean, narrowing it down by division is fun.
So the reason why I gave you his percentile, like college dominator, is because he's young. He doesn't have much of a track record in the NFL.
Oh, Denzel Mims.
There it is. Denzel Mims.
Nice.
Rich, you didn't read my opportunity to report today.
I'm sorry. It's Thanksgiving week. I was busy. It was a mess. I decorated an entire house for Christmas today.
All right. You can be excused.
All right. Ready for my next one?
I'm ready.
We're going to switch over to the quarterback position. And this might not be as sneaky because I don't know. I think you'll be able to guess who. This is like when you narrow it down by the guy that has the mustache.
That's true. Right. Mustache is pretty easy. Defining features, not that many of them, I guess.
Nope. All right. So we got an NFC quarterback. Over the last three games, I've been the quarterback 13, averaging 17.1 points per game. I have accumulated the third most rushing yards of any quarterback this year. For the rest of the season, I have one of the best strength of schedules, and I am rostered in 34% of Yahoo leagues. Who am I?
I'm going to try to guess. I know I could look this up and be really quick, but I'm going to try and guess. What did he rank in his rushing?
Third. He has the third most rushing yards on the year.
Is it Cam?
It's not.
Yeah, because I was thinking Kyler, Lamar. I don't know this off the top of my head. I was just guessing Kyler, Lamar, and then Cam. Oh, AFC?
Nope.
I'm going to guess.
It's not the AFC. It's the NFC.
Oh, it's
the
NFC. I don't know.
So he has over 300 yards rushing, but only one touchdown.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Teddy Bridgewater? He's been sneaky too. Why am I so bad at this game?
I'll narrow it down to the NFC East.
Carson Wentz.
Nope. There's only three more quarterbacks, and one of them, like Andy Dalton, hasn't even been the starter that long.
Alex Smith.
No, he only started two games. There's only one more team left.
Hold on, I gotta think about it. Oh, it's Daniel Jones.
It's Daniel freaking Jones.
My gosh.
Daniel freaking Jones.
Daniel Jones.
So Daniel Jones has rushed for over 300 yards and has only scored one touchdown. There was the famous gif of him stumbling and bumbling and falling while he was wide. He was about to enter the end zone. That would have been his second touchdown. But this is it. I'm all in. This is my Daniel Jones week to just break out. He gets the Bengals. The Bengals are starting mystery quarterback. And if he doesn't do good this week, I'm done. I'm just done.
I love Daniel Jones. I don't think he's great. I don't think he's worth the draft capital that they put into him. But I think I can't believe I did not get this right away because I'm playing him in so many of my leagues. I play him because of the rushing floor, and he has been doing really well. He's been fighting the end zone, rushing the ball, and that was terrible. All right, I have one more, and it is another running back. So hopefully these are helpful for people. This running back is in. I'll just say the NFC. I can give you the division.
Nope. If you need it.
Rostered in 75% of Yahoo, 53% of ESPN leagues. So very similar to the numbers that we saw with Damian Harris. He has the second best strength of schedule for running backs for the rest of the season. He is tied for third in green zone attempts with 6. So remember, green zone are attempts within the 5-yard line. Mm-hmm. Since he took over the backfield, he has scored 5 touchdowns on those 6 attempts, which has helped him rise to running back 9 in points per game. Can you guess who? Do you have a clue?
My first thought is Antonio Gibson.
No, because he was my guess who last time.
Just because of all the touchdowns. Running back 9.
I will tell you that this guy... He gets his touchdowns because he's in the green zone. Like, you don't expect him to be scoring from anywhere else on the field.
Todd Gurley?
Ew, no.
I mean, touchdowns in the red zone. I mean, that's the only reason why I went there.
Yep, that's right.
Touchdowns in the red zone.
Remember,
76% owned.
Just took over the backfield within the last 4 weeks, I believe.
Kareem Hunt?
No.
Mm-mm. No, I'm in the wrong area. Ronald Jones?
Mm-mm. You need to travel north.
Aaron Jones? But 74% owned is what's jacking me up.
75% on Yahoo.
Yeah. How can you be 75% owned and be the RB9?
Because it's only been within the last 4 weeks, and it's very touchdown dependent.
Cam Akers?
No, he scored one touchdown.
No. I don't think I'm going to get this.
We actually just talked about his division.
Yeah, is it Wayne Gallman?
It's Wayne Gallman.
Oh my God. Wayne
Gallman.
So stupid.
I've thought about treating him multiple times, but his points are so propped up by touchdowns, which are not predictable. Like, if they don't get within the five or within the 10, like, he's not going to get you that many points. So, like, by contrasting him and Harris, like, I would rather have Harris because his ability to create and, like, break off those big runs that I talked about. Mm-hmm. Gallman's ranked 36 in yards created per attempt and juke rate. So, like, he's way down there. And he's someone that, until his luck runs out, you might want to stream him. He might be someone that you can grab. But he's had two running back two games in week 7 and week 8 and two running back one games in week 9 and week 10. So, I mean, you can ride that hot hand and be ready to abandon ship when, you know, he doesn't get those touchdowns. But if you remember, he's got that second best strength of schedule going forward for running backs, according to PFF.
They don't have anybody else. It's Deion Lewis and Alf. Alf Morris is still there. That's Saquon's not coming back, so it's his job to lose.
Is Freeman out for the rest of the year? I know he hit.
I forgot he was alive.
Yeah, he is. Breathing. Although injured, I think he might be on IR. I think he's going to miss at least three games, which started, I think, two games ago. So
Giants this week and next week are the weeks. They have, who did I say earlier? The Bengals this week and then Seattle next week. So Seattle's run defense is okay. But they should be able to move the ball at least against Seattle.
Hopefully you were able to guess quicker than we were. I hope this was fun for you. I enjoy the game. I'm just not very good at it. Third down. If your season-long teams are in the dumpster, it is still fun to jump into some DFS games. Rich, in cash games, who is that guy that you are locking into your lineups?
So this week I'm looking at Keenan Allen. He is pricey. They finally raised his price. He's up at $8,000. But he's a target monster. He's averaging 11 targets a game. The 52.5 total in this game is the second highest on the slate, only to the Chiefs Bucks. And Allen is going to work out of the slot. Tre'Davious White, who's the Bills' best cornerback, primarily sticks to the outside. So the Bills' slot corner, Tavon Johnson, is allowed a 76% catch rate. And I'd expect just another monster week from Keenan Allen. Not that you need to worry about the matchup against Keenan Allen, but Justin Herbert's just been looking his way all season. So I love him. Who you got?
So my cash game must play. I hope I'm not a week too late on this, but it's Taysom Hill at 6,200. Now, there's a lot of good quarterback matchups this week, but I don't think any of them have as high of a floor as Taysom Hill could provide with his rushing. He looked really good last week. I was impressed. I didn't expect him to be as good, looking as good as he did as a passer. He really locked in on Michael Thomas, and he had a crazy target share. It was like 52% or something. But I'm not really scared of the matchup. I think some people are a little worried because he's playing Denver. That's Vic Fangio. They're known for their defense. He's known for his defenses. They just gave Tua a hard time last week to the point where he was benched. But they're kind of a middle of a pack defense when matched up against quarterbacks. And also, I think we need to look at running backs for Taysom Hill as well. Mm-hmm. And for as good as Fangio is at scheming his defenses to be successful, I think Sean Payton is just as good, if not better, at calling a game to take advantage of his own skill players. So I think 10 rushing attempts that he got last week is a realistic floor again. And any passing that work that you get on top of that is just, you know, gravy. And he could have had another bomb touchdown. I think it was to Emmanuel Sanders because I needed him to score. That got called back. So, I mean, he looked pretty good. Now, just remember, it was Atlanta. Denver's a little bit better than Atlanta in the passing game. But I'm going to go with Taysom Hill. I think he offers pretty good floor and value for the price. So let's go ahead and get contrarian. Let's pick some players who are projected to be lower owned so that you can kind of get some leverage and pivot away from some of those more higher owned players in the GPP tournaments. Who's someone that you think will be low owned but still have a nice week this week, Rich?
It's funny that you just talked about Taysom Hill, so because I'm going to talk about Michael Thomas. He's $7,400. He is projected currently to be 3% rostered. And to me, that's just way too low for Michael Thomas. Week one with Taysom Hill under center was a success for the Saints. And Michael Thomas got fed. Thomas saw 12 of Taysom Hill's 23 pass attempts. You talked about the target share just now, and that's monster. The Broncos have been decent against the pass, but Michael Thomas is matchup proof, and at 3% ownership, that could be just a GPP winning play. Who you got in GPPs?
Mine is Hunter Henry at 4,800. So we're targeting those same two games. Mm-hmm. He's projected to be 7% owned, so a little bit higher ownership, but it's the second highest total on the slate, and the Bills are favored by 6. So it makes sense that we're going to have the Chargers passing a lot, and it's a good passing environment. I think most people are going to try to go to Keenan, like you suggested earlier, which I think is a really good play. But I want a cheaper way to get access to that passing offense to kind of get some leverage off of that game. And I think I'm going to go with Henry. He's a top 5 tight end in targets, and Buffalo lets up the 6th most points to tight ends this season. So I think he makes a good play and a second tier of tight end price points.
Yeah, with the Bills-Chargers game, I made a lineup earlier that was game stacking that game, and I love it so much. Between Herbert and Allen and Henry and getting Steph Diggs in there, like that was a fun game to game stack. I like it a lot.
Diggs was another wide receiver that I considered for my cash lock, just because mm-hmm. John Brown's going to be out. Beasley's gotten a pretty decent target share, but he's kind of expensive, so mm-hmm. I think Diggs is another great play in cash.
He's pricey too, but yeah, I like it a lot. And if you want to take us on in DFS, make sure to join the QB List DraftKings tournament. It's a small field $3 tournament for the readers, listeners of QB List and our team. To join, check the link in the podcast episode notes.
And we're going to fill it this time. We're going to fill it so everybody can play. Fourth down, Rich, tell us one thing that you are looking forward to most during this weekend's games.
Oh, man, the Eagles face the Seahawks on Monday Night Football. The Eagles have been rolling with their 3-7-1 record against the Seahawks that are monsters. But the Eagles every single year have this one weird game where they look completely different than the rest of the year. And so I'm hoping it's this year. I'm hoping it's this week. We gave the Seahawks trouble, I think it was last year or 2 years ago. And this is the week. They're going to look good.
Are they going to look totally different because Jalen Hurts is going to be their quarterback?
Yeah,
is
that what's going to happen? 100%. 100%. Maybe he'll actually get rid of the ball and not take a sack. Who you got, Kenny?
I am excited to watch the game that we just kind of talked about, the young quarterbacks in the Buffalo Chargers game. Mm-hmm. I think the Chargers typically keep things close, which always makes things interesting, and then they blow it in the fourth quarter and have to come back from behind, and that's always fun to watch. So we've also seen them play really tough against Kansas City, so I'm wondering how they're going to attack that Buffalo offense. And I think it could be a good game. So
yeah, I think it'll be a lot of fun.
And that is going to do it for the No Huddle podcast. Remember to visit QBList.com for all the fantasy analysis that you could ever need. Rich, where can people find you?
Sure, on Twitter, I'm at RichardoPL83. Where can people find you?
And you can find me at KennyQBL on Twitter. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we will talk to you right here next week.